Okay. Brian Terry requests authorization to lease 40 acres of oyster planting ground in Craddock Creek, and this is the southern side of Accomack County on the bayside. Project area has submerged aquatic vegetation all throughout. Just a map showing the location of the project. It's approximately 6 miles to the northwest of the town of Exmoor in Craddock Creek. The county line, it comes through the middle of Occoquan Creek, which is a creek south of Craddock. Water depths in the proposed lease area vary from approximately mean low water along the shoreline and up to about 4 feet, minus 4 feet near the channel. This is the area of the application. Before I go any farther, I better show, identify some of the colors in here. The brown are the leases, existing leases. The yellows and the blues and the darker greens and the lighter greens are all part of VIMS's SAV maps. And these are online. You can pull these up anytime. The bottom is mostly of a sand mix with SAV primary widgeon grass near the shoreline and eelgrass offshore. The application, the Terry application, is right through here. There is a small amount of cage aquaculture up the creek, this general area here. And as you can see, there's some SAV that started to encroach into some of the existing leases. Yeah, this is actually another lease of Mr. Terry's right here. I may have this wrong, but Mr. Terry, I believe, is the manager of New Inlet LLC, which has 13 leases located mostly on the seaside of the Eastern Shore, totaling a little less than 840 acres. He also has two leases in his own name, one in Cobb Bay on the seaside for a little less than 200 acres, and another lease, which you just talked about, which is in Craddock Creek for 12.56 acres. And he intends to grow aquaculture cage oysters, I believe, on this area. This is the map that came with the original application here. We did receive this back in July of 2015. And at that time, there was an application here from Matthews that has now since been surveyed and is now under lease. It's his application is bounded by vacant and channel, the three leases here, low water, and an old application by Robert Turner on the west that was withdrawn because of SAV issues. It's right here. This is the 2016 SAV coverage, and the red line here is my rendition of what Mr. Terry has applied for. As you can see, it's pretty much completely covered at this point with SAV of different density, from 10 to 40, less than 10 here, 70 to 100 in this general area here. This information was given to Mr. Terry with staff informing him that they would not be able to support his application. Mr. Terry requested to go forward with his application, which we did, and we went through our standard public interest review. It is not protested. Mr. Terry did agree that there is SAV in the area over the past 10 years. However, he does believe that the majority of the years the grasses have been extremely light or non-existent. Mr. Terry submitted his application in case the area ever became void of SAV or leasable. It's our policy not to hold applications until the bottom changes and becomes leasable. If we did that, we would just be having a lease everywhere throughout the state, just hoping that one day the low water would change or there wouldn't be any SAV in the area anymore. What I've got here is a series from 2016, and we're going to work our way back to 2007 just so y'all would see what the SAV coverage has been through the past 10 years. That's 16. Again, the area is right through here. It'll show up on all the maps just like this. Full coverage in 15, full coverage in 14. In 13, there's a little area that was vacant, but the rest of it is pretty much covered. In 12, there's about a three-year period when it started to slack off between 11, 12, and 13. So that's 12, 11, very little. But you can see it died off in some of these other areas compared to what it was. That's 11. And then again, and back in 10, you had full coverage again. And then I'll just drop to 2007, where this little area through here did not have coverage. So in reality, this area has been under some type of density pretty much 6 to 7 years out of the last 10. And this is a composite without the leases showing 2012 to 2016 coverage. This area would have also, it shows up yellow, but in some of those years it was blue during that period. And I'll just leave this up. BMRC's new SAV guidance policy that was adopted by the commission at its August 22nd, 2017 meeting states that new structures are leasing of oyster planting ground on any SAV bids annually mapped by VIMS during at least one of the previous 5 years should be avoided. The density levels in the past 5 years have varied between less than 10% in some areas to greater than 70% in others. The planting of shellfish in this area would directly impact the widgeon grass and eelgrass present and inhibit any SAV restoration in this area. VIMS's SAV maps indicate that there has been submerged aquatic vegetation in the area that Mr. Terry has applied for most of the last 10 years, and their 2016 map indicates the area is completely covered. Staff, therefore, is unable to support the applicant's request for approximately 40 acres of oyster planting ground in this area, and we're recommending denial. Mr. Terry is also here, and as I said earlier, there's no protest.
Any questions for staff? Is there anyone who wants to speak in favor of this? Or is the applicant present? Sorry, I'm new at this.
Timbridge.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Did I get sworn in?
Oh, that's asking a lot. Anyone know what I should read here to him?
You saw him, where's your right hand? You saw him swear, tell the truth, the whole truth, so have you got?
Yes, sir. Brian Terry is my name.
Thank you.
And, guys, I had a whole bunch of stuff to go over and present this great case, but Mr. Badger has done excellent in presenting everything and all the facts. What I'd like to say, first of all, with all of these VIMS maps, is the question I have, when were they taken? At what time of year and at what tide? Because, you know, if you're taking this picture during the summer months versus the winter months, you're going to have a lot of different variation in what grasses are coming and going. As Mr. Badger stated, that primarily this area that I'm trying to lease is all filled with widgeon grass. If everybody is not familiar with that, widgeon grass is a grass that is killed off by heat, typically around a 75, once the water temperature gets around 75 and above, the widgeon grass will then dissipate and killed off for the summer months, which are the best months for oyster growth and oyster growth. So if these maps are taken and this survey is done during the winter months or colder months or during certain times of year, they may show more aquatic vegetation than is actually there at all times. So having a more consistent time frame of when all of this survey is done, so we have a really good consensus on how much grass is actually there versus how much grass is not there. Now, going back all the way back to 2007, is that where you went? All the way back through 2007, as you can see, in at least I would say 60% of the application, it's all less than 10% of aquatic vegetation. And then back in 2011, there was absolutely nothing. So, you know, with all the variations, and as anybody deals with all the water circumstances, you know, change is evident. Change is always apparent, and you're going to have some years that are more, some years that are less. So, you know, I know the new standard is out. I believe you stated that this application was placed in 2015. However, the original application for this was actually dated back to 2013, I believe. So before, you know, you guys stepped up and had the 2015, I believe, new standard, this would have fallen under your previous standard and at that point in time would have been leased. So all I am asking is that we revise this and are able to lease meet this application.
Thank you, Mr. Terry. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
In this area, you know, how many oysters would you be planning on propagating? What could you do with it? Can you give us an idea of the benefit?
There's a huge benefit. I mean, on 40 acres, you can grow a lot of oysters. As far as an oyster per acre, I'm not exactly sure. Some of that bottom is a little softer than others. It would be something I'd have to play with. Could be potential to, you know, 500,000 upwards of 2 to 5 million. So, you know, with as further out here in the front of this part of this application, the bottom is a little more solid. Once you come around the back side, you'll have a little softer, muddier bottom, which may not be as conducive to oyster aquaculture, maybe more conducive to clam aquaculture. So it's all kind of one of those trial and errors that I'd be playing with over time.
Mrs. Everett.
Your question was when the survey was done for the underwater grasses might not reflect when oysters are put down. Oysters might be put down when the grasses are not there.
Correct.
Yet the following season, when those grasses come back, there'd be oysters on top.
And true, for the difference of that is, you know, it's got to be beneficial for us as well for growing the product. Mm-hmm. If there is a large amount of grass there, it's going to deplete the oxygen, deplete the algae growth, and deplete the resources that an oyster and or clam need to grow, to feed, to get to market size. So if in that situation the grasses came back, then yes, then I would move and go to certain other spots of that lease until said years when they subside.
Mr. Tacker.
Mr. Terry, what do you do on the lease you currently have in Craddock Creek?
Grow cage oysters.
And how productive has that been for you? And so that's essentially what you'd want to do with this lease here is caged oysters, correct?
Yes. Well, I'm going to try clams as well.
And then my follow-up question to tag on to Ms. Everett's. A caged oyster would be on that bottom for how long?
It depends on growth. I mean, it all depends on it. Could be we could have a really good summer months, and the oysters could really take off, and they could be on there as little as 6 months. Or it could be upwards of a couple years. But keep in mind, as the oyster cage is on that bottom, it's not just sitting there. It's not something that you set there and then you come back in 2 years. It's constantly moved, it's constantly rotated and moved all around the bottom. So we may use that a 10% area of the lease for said months. And, you know, another big thing too, keep in mind, you know, as all these storms are coming in and we're having all these hurricanes and large scale storms in, the front part of that lease is exposed straight to the Chesapeake Bay. As you see further out, there's a huge sandbar out there that does show aquatic vegetation, even though right now there's absolutely nothing. It's where I take my family to the beach on Sunday afternoons. So it's nothing but sand. And that is the only protective during, you know, these violent storms. So at certain times of year, everything may be brought around the cove to protect our product.
Other questions from the commission?
May I make a comment?
Yeah, Mrs. Everett.
Mr. Terry, just so you're aware, underwater grasses do provide oxygen. They actually reduce turbidity in the water, and they're actually healthy to coexist with oysters. They decrease algae in the surface to reduce algal blooms, so in turn wouldn't reduce oxygen, but put in the water column. So just to clarify. Okay.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter, either pro or con? Anyone? Last call. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
I have a question for staff or any of us, I guess. The previous regulation, would this have been approved? I was confused by that. I didn't think we changed much.
No, this would not have been approved. Matter of fact, you can see Mr. Terry's application here. Originally, it came around here. He reduced it to get away from the SAV, and then as soon as this was surveyed, he reapplied for the rest so he could get started with something there. But no, we were never recommending approval of anything in this area, even before the regulation was.
Mr. Taggart.
So, and Mr. Badger, Mr. Terry testified there seemed to be some kind of inconsistency with the SAV process of VIMS. Have you seen any inconsistencies over the years in our designation of these areas?
Lyle would probably know better, but it's my understanding that they fly this consistently at the same time every year, and it's usually in late May and into June. And they probably, I believe they try to fly it on a lower tide or when the there's not wave action or wind action so they can actually see that. So what they do is consistent. I think industry in general has had an issue with the percentages, 10%, 50%, or whatever. But I can't really comment on any more about how they come up with the numbers.
Mr. Ballard.
On the previous new regulation, I believe we have a statement in there that the chief engineer can approve an alternate plan. Have you worked with Mr. Terry or the chief engineer?
Well, that's for the leasing of the grind and the marking of the grind.
Right.
I'm not aware of anything that's in this that we can approve.
I thought there was some clause, maybe that you can approve, but there was some clause that we talked about working with floating cages or some other devices that may allow more light penetration.
That would be under a permit process.
Okay.
It wouldn't be under the leasing of the bottom.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mr. Terry or anybody could come back and apply to lease the area under cages, even though our regulation basically still doesn't want you to put cages on top of SAV beds.
Right.
So if he came back, he would have to explain where he wants to put it. We would probably run it past VIMS, and they would say, well, this area, you know, if you space it every so far apart, maybe. But right now, I don't see a way as far as the leasing.
Okay.
It would be a joint permit application.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Terry, you want to wrap this up? Do you got anything else to add to this?
No. Can you explain that, what you were saying again, on this new policy?
It's my understanding, we still don't want cages on SAV, but when it gets down to 10% or less, there may be some areas that you could potentially put cages that wouldn't directly impact the bed. And so what would happen is we would need a joint permit application filled out showing the spacing in these really less dense areas. Mm-hmm. And then it would still have to get a full interest review, just like all of our joint permit applications do. And it would probably come back from the commission, just in my guess. And VIMS obviously would be involved in making some of those determinations too.
Mr. Ballard.
Just from sitting on that committee, I think what we're trying to get at was in some of these situations, like you're talking about, where there's a blade of grass and a shellfish farmers are sitting there shaking our heads going, why in the world are we not creating jobs and using the state bottom in a more efficient manner than growing a tiny amount of seagrass? we're trying to come up with a way, particularly the concept was floating cages, that might not compete with the bottom as much as grass, as well as allow a little bit more light penetration through because they're moving with the tides. So I believe there was a clause in the new SAV policy that said we could work to come up with a plan. It still would be reviewed by VIMS, probably go through this process again. But when I look at that less than 10% area, I start to think, okay, you know, that might be a great area to do something like that.
Well, to that effect, I mean, if that's something, you know, I mean, I'm willing to work this out, work these lines out, if that's something that we can get approved today. I mean, is this application set in stone as far as the 40 plus or minus acres? I mean, could we extend the line out and up and then take away some of the areas that in the past 5 years have been a little more dense, and being at the 70 to 100% versus the 10%, less than 10% range? I mean, I'm willing to, if you guys would entertain that idea as well.
I believe that would have to be a separate permitting track, and it wouldn't be a lease per se. It would be a application for a permit that would go through the public interest review and the staff evaluation with VIMS's input, and therefore at that point it would become of not a matter of whether or not there could be floating cages. It would be how many and where and in what configuration.
Correct.
But so
that's the permit part, but I was talking about for the application as far as today, if that were something to
the way the guidance are set up, this is fully covered. It's considered a bid. It's there now. It wasn't like it was vacant this year, but 2 years ago it had plenty. It's there now. My recommendation would change. I would say that under the joint permit application, we have a lot more control over what goes on, and we can put stipulations on special conditions that we can't with a regular lease.
Oh, and that's where we're at. So the public hearing is closed. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. What is the will of the commission? Mr. Ballard.
I'll just provide some brief discussion. I already touched on the point, but there is just a massive groundswell and kind of growing frustration amongst the shellfish farming community on the West Coast, the Gulf Coast, and the East Coast now, that really is a conversation happening in Washington more so than here, but just a lot of growing frustration on the absolute protection that SAV seems to get. I'm not sure it's something we can change today or something that this board can even change, but if I had to guess, and I don't want to speak for Mr. Terry, but my guess is that he is standing up here just trying to express that frustration and do something, because it doesn't seem rational or logical for a lot of people. My vote or movement would be to deny this application, but with an appreciation for the frustration that Mr. Terry's going through.
So is that a motion?
Sure.
I second.
It's a motion by Mr. Ballard and a second by Mr. Neal here is deny the application for the 40 acres. Let me add my 2 cents on that. Mr. Terry here, I commiserate with where you're at and where the shellfish growers are at, particularly over the Eastern Shore here. We're balancing competing environmental and economic needs. This is my perspective. And I think it's augmented or exacerbated a bit in the fact that there is a lack of availability of decent grounds for this type of economic and job creation. And there's a variety of reasons for that, but I lament that we're in this position here where you and others are scrambling to find any sort of ground that would be good for your businesses and to find very few opportunities, because we have so many acres under lease, 126,000 acres under lease. Doesn't leave you, the pickings are bare, yes, I think is the status at this point.
Yes, sir.
So I lament that. Mrs. Everett.
Could I ask, so someone like Mr. Terry does go through the entire process and then get to this point and have this discussion, could staff, as they see the high presence of SAV, redirect to a JPA permit process where it seems like an alternative could be sought, just so they don't have to start over at this point?
We could. Okay. When it comes to the application for oyster grind, we pretty much will look at our maps before they even apply and let them know in advance that there is SAV. We can't stop them from applying, but yeah, we could push them in the direction of the JPA for a permit application if the commission really wants to push in that direction. Some of this is fine, but we're still going to run into problems with cages and other things where people are going to want to go into the 70% to 100% area. Maybe less than 10%, there's a possibility there. Some of these other ones are going to be more difficult to get through.
That's where we're at. We have a motion on the table by Mr. Ballard here, and it's a second by Mr. Neal here to deny the application. Call a question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well, reluctantly.
Thank you
Mr. Terry.
Thank you.